Welcome to Bible Greek V-Pod's audio series. Join us as we look at the book of Matthew.
His betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Here we have this description of Judas proclaiming Jesus innocent. So we now start, as you notice on your handout, the first of many religious trials was a desire to get a death penalty for Jesus. The second, the civil trials that are on our list here. Again, Matthew doesn't give you all three of these civil trials, but they're not guilty. That's the mode of today. He's innocent. So the idea is the innocent lamb that went to slaughter. So he proclaims, Judas proclaims Jesus innocent, and this is the beginning of that innocent proclamation. Look at verse 5. "Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." Man, Peter denied Jesus and repented, but now Judas. He betrayed and repented before men, but not God. It's called remorse. It's called remorse. This is, and then he goes out and he kills himself. Look at verse 6. "But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, 'Is it not lawful to put him into the treasury because they are the price of blood?' And they consulted together, and they brought them to the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day." So, wow. So Judas, he throws that money down. He just comes in to the Sanhedrin before the authorities. He repents. And you notice on the back of your handout, the word for repent there is not the normal word for repent. Metanoia, a change of mind, a salvational repent. But this has a sense of "I regret." Afterwards, he thought about it. Man, so he kind of came afterwards and said, "Man, I regret what I did. I'm not sure what I did." So it's not the same word for repentance, but he repented. He had some regrets. And he throws that money down on the floor of the Sanhedrin because they didn't want it. They didn't want to handle that blood money. He just throws it down and he walks out. They wouldn't even take it. But now they move to this deal. They try to make this deal and organize this deal so that the decision is to simply bury it. They just want to bury it in this field. Remember Jesus' parable about the talents? A certain man was traveling to a far country, and so he gives his servants, three servants, five talents to invest. Two invested, while the third just buried that money. Here they are, they're burying that money. They're going to be, that one that was buried the money, he was cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That was back in chapter 25, just a couple of chapters before this. Blood money had condemned an innocent man. Wow. What a testimony. Look at verse 9. "Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and they gave them for the potter's field to the Lord, as the Lord directed me.'" This is another fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, but I want to point out something here. What Matthew quotes, there's a little bit of controversy because Matthew, it's not Jeremiah who quotes this exact. These words are really more exact from another prophet. But But notice this prophecy calls out the exact amount of 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. Is that 5 talents? I don't know. It's a different accounting system. But then we get into verse 11. It says, now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said to him, it is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered and said to them, not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. So the governor marveled here. Well, he marveled not in the blown away sense, as we've seen the Greek word for marvel before. As a miracle is performed, people are blown away. That's the Greek word. But this is a wonder in admiration. They admire it, if you will. Well, Matthew is quoting, when he quotes here in verse 9, he's quoting Zechariah chapter 11, but he calls it Jeremiah. And it comes, a lot of people relate that to Jeremiah 18 and 19. Zechariah speaks of the false shepherds and the potter, but Jeremiah speaks of the potter as it refers to evil and how evil responds, or evil is repaid for good. And so the potter's earthen flask and the judgment of Judah and Jerusalem are spoken of. And the place is called the place of fire. A place of fire. Here, it's this field. It's this field. But there in Jeremiah is called the place of fire. So I think Matthew is giving us the full quote is Zechariah. He's giving us a taste of the meaning, a fuller meaning of what is going on here. So they will be full of the bodies that there can be no more place there. He's talking about this field where they're going to bury people. But it's not them that is in focus. It's the Jews who rejected, the Jews who gave this injustice that is in view here. And I think that's what he's talking about. You can look that up. There's a lot of controversy about this. Matthew misquoted. It wasn't Jeremiah. It was Zechariah. But I think Matthew has a story to tell. And his story relates to the Jews in that day and their rejection of the true shepherd. And they're going to be buried there. It's a turn. It's a flopping of events that may take place. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barnabas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you? Barabbas, or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. Whoa, because of envy. What a crazy things that's going on here. It's Passover. That's what this is. What feast is this that he talks about in verse 15? Now at the feast of the governor, it's just Passover. So during this feast of Passover week, Matthew's focusing upon the Jewish things. So in Matthew's account, he's going to mention that. It's the feast. It has to do with the feast. Now, it's not a Roman tradition to release anybody, but it is Roman tradition in this area with the Jews to release somebody. Why? Well, because of Passover. That was their idea of Passover. So that in that region, you know, Rome is pretty smart. They're incredibly adaptive to when they take over an area, they will let the area do have a lot of freedoms. But you better pledge allegiance to Rome. That's the idea. When push comes to shove, you give your money to Rome, and you pay your tithes, your taxes, and you also support Rome when Rome wants you to support them. And then you will do fine, and they'll let you do the things that you want to do. So Rome, in that sense of the way they do business, they let a prisoner go as a goodwill gesture. And so this is the prisoner swap that they came up with. And it's unique to this area. It's unique to the Jewish area. So Pilate asked, "Are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king of the Jews?" And again, Jesus just says, "It's as you say." You said it. So he agrees with it. He agrees with it. He is king of the Jews. And then he responds, again in verse 17, Pilate calls Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. You're the Christ. Again, that Old Testament thing of the Messiah, that promised Messiah. And look at Pilate's conclusion. They hand him over because of envy. Ooh, because of sin. They hand him over because of envy. So, in essence, he's calling him innocent. Here's an innocent man. Look at verse 19. While he was sitting on the judgment seat. I love that word, judgment seat. That's the Roman judgment seat, but we have the judgment seat of Christ. You know, he's on his throne. But while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife, look at this, sent to him saying, "Have nothing to do with this man, this just man." Look at that, the just man. He's an innocent man. "For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." Man, she was dreaming. So she's superstitious. And the Romans in general are superstitious. So this governor's wife had a disturbing dream. And so the Romans believe in dream interpretation. Very heavy into superstitious dream interpretation. And so she has this bad dream, and it's attributed to Jesus. Look at verse 20. "But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus." Notice that. Notice who's instigating. Who's instigating the trade? The religious leaders are instigating this trade. They're working up the whole crowd there to say, "Release Barabbas." Verse 21. "The governor answered and said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' And they said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate said to them, 'What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?' And they all said to him, 'Let him be crucified.'" Man. "Then the governor said, 'Why?' Look at this. 'What evil has he done?' But they cried out all the more, saying, 'Let him be crucified.'" So they had no reason. He's an innocent man. The focus of today is he's an innocent man. And that's what the civil court, the civil trial said. He's not guilty. He's innocent. He is definitely an innocent man. And all they can say is crucify him. Look at verse 24. "Then Pilate said," Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all. So he couldn't reason with them, the crowd, but rather that a tumult was rising. So they're really getting excited. Again, Matthew's not doesn't go into the details that some of the other Gospels talk about here with the chanting, but he does relate the facts to us. "That a tumult was rising, and he took water and he washed his hands." Look at that. He washes his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just," look at that, "just person. You see to it." Wow. So he washes his hands. man. Well, the truth really is that both Pilate and the Jewish leadership are guilty of this blood. Pilate could have stopped this. He could have stopped the execution, but he did not. You know, he just simply washed his hands of it, as if he's of innocent blood. But that, just because you wash your hands, doesn't mean you have innocent blood. Doesn't mean it at all. So both are responsible moral agents. But really, what does Jesus say? Nobody took his life. He gave his life freely. That's what he says. But they are still responsible moral agents for their actions. Well, what is the result? Well, the Jews not only lost their temple, but they lost their land. And they lost their land for 70 years during the Babylonian captivity. You remember that? It's a loss of land. But now they lose their temple, they lose their land. They lost their temple in 70 AD, they lost the land in 132 AD, and they didn't get that land back until 1948. Look at verse 25. And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Man. Then he released Barabbas to them, and then he had scourged Jesus. He delivered him to be crucified. Well, Barabbas is just—it's just amazing. Matthew doesn't talk about him at all, about his background, but the others identify him, and they identify him as a Jewish revolutionary, if you want. Look, some of the points about him are: not only is he a thief, but he's a revolutionary. So that seems to be why the Jewish leadership wanted him released, because he was like a good guy. But Matthew's concerned with the Jewish facts pointing to this innocent man. So he doesn't talk about Barabbas at all. He says this Barabbas was released. Really doesn't really identify his character, why he was there. But the idea is the innocence of Jesus. And that's what Matthew's focus is on. The man Jesus and his as he's led to the crucifixion, and it really speaks of the humiliation of the king as Matthew focuses upon the kingship of Jesus. Jesus the king. Now he's humiliated. Isaiah 53, the suffering servant is in focus. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your word. And as we finish off the crucifixion next week, we just identify that and acknowledge the injustice that was due this man, that was brought upon this man. An innocent man was crucified. And it just screams, innocent man was crucified, because it had to be an innocent, spotless lamb who could be who could take our sins for us. A perfect man was the only one able to take the sins for us, and he did, Lord, in his death. So thank you for him. Thank you for sending your son to die for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.